This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. We kick things off with West Ham against Manchester City. City, of course, with a win, would have gone one step closer to winning the title. However, it finishes 2-2. Bowen with a brace in the first half, saw them 2-0 down at halftime. Jack Grealish scored, then an own goal from Koufal would make it 2-2. Jesus then brought down late. Riyad Mahrez given the responsibility to score the winning penalty. That was saved by Fabianski. But despite those drop points, destiny still in Manchester City's hands. If they beat Aston Villa on the final day of the season at the Etihad, then they will once again be champions. So more on this, let's welcome in Frank Leboeuf, Julian Laurent and Nader Manua. Nader, let's start with you. How nervous were you at halftime?
Well, I'm not going to say I was nervous because, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But I was surprised that they were two goals down. And I knew that this was going to be a big moment for them because could they react? You know, being away at West Ham at the end of the season, that's a tough fixture. That sort of emotional day for Mark Noble, the fans' expectations as well, and the fact they could take up the role of an underdog, you know, it kind of suits what they were going to be doing for their game plan. So I think for City, it was always going to be a test, and I think the timing of the Grealish goal really sort of settled a few people's nerves because you knew that they were going to create other chances. Obviously, there's a bit of luck in there as well with the Antonio missed chance and a couple others. But I think overall, you know, I think as Stevie said earlier in the day, it's kind of, it almost felt like a reaction of potential champions because they found a way to get a result. They didn't want to go into that last game of the season trying to have a potential shootout on goal difference. And now, as Pep said after the game, they're playing at home with a chance to win a Premier League title. And everyone in that building that's representing Man City, you know, they're going to be all in 100%. And it could make for a very good day for them.
Yeah, you've got to say, Frank, City's character has proven to be extraordinarily strong over the last week. After what happened against Real Madrid, 5 past Newcastle, 5 past Wolves, 2-0 down at half-time against West Ham, yet they still find a way to get back into the game.
Yeah, and it's maybe then the sign for everybody that they're going to win the Premier League because they deserve it. At the end of the day, they were on top of the league for a long time. They show character, as you mentioned, after the loss of the Champions League round, and they did what they had to do, and they never gave up. And this afternoon, they showed real character, and they could have won that game if Riyad Mahrez would have scored on the penalty. But I really have nothing to say. I think it's written for me. Manchester City is going to be the champion of England, and hopefully for the Liverpool fans, Liverpool will win the Champions League.
Frank, you always have something to say. Don't give us that. Meanwhile, Jules, you're of course there. What an atmosphere that must have been, particularly in that first half.
It was incredible, Dan. That's true. Nathan alluded to it in the sense that it was a very special day because it was the last home game ever from Mark Noble and all his family. And you really felt like the crowd wanted that day to be special and the game to be special, and the players responded really well to it. Zinchenko made two big mistakes that cost the two goals. And in fairness to him, he, in the interview that he did after the game for all the broadcasters, including with me, he put his hand up and said, I made a mistake. I should have defended better. It was on me. But the way they reacted and the fact that they still have the destiny in their own hands, I think is by far the most important now.
It is, of course, then all down to Liverpool now. They've got to get that win against Southampton. That, of course, is on Tuesday. They then take on Wolves at Anfield. City taking on Villa at home. City beat Villa and they are once again champions. Huge drama at the bottom of the table. Watford and Norwich, we know, are down. There's one place left as to who will be playing their trade in the Championship next season. Burnley lost 1-0 against Spurs. Everton lost at home against Brentford. It looked like Leeds were going to lose at home against Brighton. But for a late equaliser, which takes Jesse Marsh's side out of the relegation zone for now. Nader, looking at this, what a game changer that late equaliser for Leeds may prove to be.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think for a neutral, you know, it's going to make for really, really sort of tantalising viewing on that final day. But I suppose for those teams down there, and having sort of felt it myself, this stuff is disgusting. Like seeing these goals going in, the red cards, everything like that, it's so stressful because, you know, you're trying to just focus on yourself, but you can't help but pay attention to the stuff going on around you. And that last minute goal there at Leeds, it's so important for them because you see how bad their goal difference is. Mm. You know, that minus 38, you can't afford to be on the same points as Burnley. To be going down on goal difference, it's going to break your spirit, and it's just a big test now for those two sides, for Everton in particular and Burnley, with the extra midweek game. Can they find a way to get 3 points on the board so they go into that last game of the season in control of their own destiny? Because if they don't, they're going to be some really, really nervous faces, really nervous fans when Sunday comes. Because, for example, as well, like Arsenal, I think, are playing Everton.
Yeah.
Arsenal potentially trying to finish in the top four. So there's nothing easy there whatsoever. So it's very interesting for the neutral. But like I say, speaking from experience, being involved in any of those teams right now, it's awful.
Aston Villa are involved in everything. They will play host to Burnley. That is on Thursday. Meanwhile, it's Everton against Crystal Palace. The bookies still have Leeds as favourite, Jules, to go down.
Yeah, and I think that's right. Burnley had more momentum. They lost, obviously, today against Spurs, but they hit the post. They actually didn't play badly. The penalty was debatable, I guess. But they had some momentum since Mike Jackson took over Sean Dyche. With Leeds, it was pretty much the other way around. I know this goal, this equalizer right at the end there will lift the spirit for sure for at least another week. But what, in midweek, if they see both Everton, then I think the spirit will go down again before the last game of the season. It's going to be fantastic, but just imagine that pressure on both Everton and Burnley in midweek when they know that even more than the last game of the season, this could be the one when everything turned.
Frank?
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be relegated, but I think there is a reason why you're in that position. You know, when you see the game that they all played, the aggressiveness and in the wrong way from Leeds and all the mistakes, the same for Everton today with the red cards and everything, something that can be avoidable, I would say. And it's really a reason why you see the change of games and spirit, where certainly they play well for 50 minutes and after they collapse because of the red cards. Because they complained because of a non-penalty just before, they lose their spirit. Even Coleman on the cross with the on goal is not in the right position. Football is full of details, but if you don't fill up all the cases, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And I guess it's what's going on for Everton. And you see all game long, multiples of mistakes will get them into a defeat. And that's no surprise for me that they are in that position. They might be the survivors of it. I see Leeds as well going down because of the schedule. But Everton didn't have a good season for sure.
I get the sense that Nadum's still reliving some trauma at this point.
Well,
it feels like this conversation is very uncomfortable
yeah,
for him.
Very raw.
Yes, very raw. Still there, still alive. He can't quite get over it. And any time that you touch up on it,
yeah,
he sits back.
It brings back memories.
Yeah,
not good ones.
It's not a good time for Nadum right now.
But let's go to Nadum.
Yeah.
Why can't Everton just get it done, Nadum?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the fact that they're above the line now is a miracle for some, because only 2 months ago, everyone said that they were the ones who were going down. They could not win a game, could not get a point, couldn't do anything. Players were injured, sick, suspended, everything. So they found that little bit of a burst just when they needed it. And that's the thing about this point of the season. And I think Ali's right. Like, there's so much trauma. Like, once you feel it, you can't forget about it, because, you know, we love the game of football. But we love it when we win. Nobody loves it when you lose. And when you're down there, you're losing more weeks than not. It affects your whole life. And the feeling of, when's this next win going to come from? Even when we looked at those games there, the five games going to be played by those three sides between now and the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it's just as likely that there'll be no wins in the same way there might be one. You know, that's how stressful that sort of position is. So, yeah, there's a lot of trauma in there. And Everton, you know, they're happy to be in the position they're in now, because, to be honest, a lot of people thought they were doomed. And to feel like the destiny is in your own hands with those two games to go, that is great. But like I say there, you look at those, and if there was literally not a single point accrued by all three sides, would we really be surprised?
As we mentioned then, Spurs with that 1-0 victory over Burnley. What that means is they are 2 points clear of Arsenal. Arsenal, of course, in action on Monday away against Newcastle. Very much all to play for that all-important fourth spot. Jules, how are you feeling with your Arsenal ways?
I don't really have any feelings. I just think that the North London derby defeat was obviously a big blow. They had prepared for that game. Nothing went their way from the penalty and the red card, and that was a tough win to swallow. There was a real sense of injustice in that dressing room after the game, which I think can spur them on Monday night away at Newcastle. Maybe more than, let's say, they played really well and still lost 3-2 to Spurs, where that would have hurt a lot. They really felt they were harshly done by the referee on Thursday night, and I think that could help them. They've won away in tough places before, recently at West Ham, for example, and there's no reason why they cannot do it again. It would be tough. It's the last game at St. James's Park. It's been a wonderful last 4 months, really, for Eddie Howe and Newcastle, but Arsenal will have to go there and show the character to be able to get that win, to go back above Spurs in that fourth place before their home game against Everton in the latter of the season, while Spurs go away to Norwich. So it's a huge game. It's the biggest game of the season by far, and then if you win, you forget about the defeat in the North London derby. If you don't, then it's obviously a lot of doubts.
Of course, a huge game, and a game we'll be talking about in some detail on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us as we'll be reflecting on Spurs against Arsenal against Newcastle, and looking ahead as well to Liverpool against Southampton on the Tuesday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Liverpool then made it 8 FA Cup titles after that penalty shootout victory against Chelsea on Saturday, matching Spurs and their opponents. This is what Jurgen Klopp had to say after the game.
In the end, we all know penalty shootout is a lottery. That's how it is. But we did it again. We work together with a company, four guys, the name is Neuro 11. They got in contact with them a few years ago, I think, got aware of it, and one of them is a neuroscientist. He said we can train penalty shooting, really? And I said, that sounds interesting, come over. German guy, we met, we worked together, and this trophy is for them, obviously, as well, like the Carabao Cup was. Sadio's penalty is maybe more, for sure, at least 50% my responsibility, because I have to let the boys do what they think they do, but be with him, I said, you know, he knows you exactly, the goalie, so do it the other way around. So how very often in my life I realized better to shut up.
Luis Diaz's performance, please. He was man of the match, so I'm sure you got a few words to say on that.
What a boy, what a story, what a player. But he should have scored. I think we agree, he agrees probably. So like the speed he has is insane, eh? So like, what a player, he's outstanding. He's a fantastic boy.
It's so funny, so we hug each other after the game, and we always just shout vamos and carayo and whatever, the few words I know in similar languages, and it's so funny. But he gets our football 100%. We thought we saw that at Porto, but that it really is like this is I feel lucky as well, to be honest. He fits like a glove to our football, and that's really, really special. Honestly, never know before you are in a situation, you never know exactly how big it feels, and it feels massive. I cannot believe it. It feels massive. I have only one problem, that we can't really celebrate it because we play on Tuesday. I think, how can you do that? Such a fantastic competition, such a fantastic occasion, and then you limit the celebrations. Okay, obviously not for the people, they can do what they want, but for the team, by putting in a game on Tuesday. So, but come on.
Fascinating stuff there from Jurgen Klopp. Frank, I want to start with you as a man who took penalties. What do you make of the fact that you have a company coming in to work on kind of the neuroscience of it all?
That's the modern world of football, I guess. I remember, you know, missing all my penalties when I was young, and I maybe missed two or three during my whole career. I think it's the mindset that you want to put in where when you face a goalkeeper and you face, in fact, the fact that you cannot miss it. It's unbearable. It's almost impossible to miss it because it's so wide for the goalkeeper. But it's possible, and we saw that. But, well, I don't know, having somebody, you know, trying to find in my brain the best way to make sure I'm going to score, I hardly believe in it, you know. I think it's really a frame of mind that you're going to put yourself in before. And for Mane, for example, yeah, he knows that he has in front of him his teammate who knows him by heart, and it happened to me a few times, you know, scoring against former teammates, goalkeepers. But you have to close your mind. So I guess you have to be really stupid to score penalties all the time. So it's why I score all most of that time, because you don't think too much. If you start thinking, yeah, I guess you're dead. But having a neuroscientist to help you out, I don't believe in it.
Nadim, could they have helped you? Because you couldn't take a penalty for toffee.
Whoa. I never took a penalty. It's not that I couldn't take a penalty. So let's pretend I would have scored all my penalties. But at team fairness, I think with Liverpool, this is just one example of many things whereby they're trying to be at the cutting edge. You know, somebody comes and suggests something, whether it's like a free kick specialist, a throw-in specialist, why not try and find those little margins, those little 1%? Because who knows, maybe it'll make a difference. There's no guarantee that what they did wasn't one of the main reasons why the players stepped up and scored their penalties overall. So it's good that they can do it. Obviously, not every club can sort of afford to sort of put money towards resources like that. But fair play to them. Like, they're a very, very good football team. They're a very, very good football club, and they're always trying to get better. And I think the only thing that's missing for me is it's all well and good making the players be in the right frame of mind. But then you're also disregarding the fact that the goalkeeper in goal might also be very, very good. Like, I may believe I'm going to score a penalty, but it doesn't necessarily make it so. But yeah, credit to them. You know, they've won two cups so far. There's potentially going to be a league title and a Champions League in there as well. And it's not just by coincidence. You know what they've been building, the sort of mentality of the manager, the players. Like, even when he was saying with Diaz, how he fits exactly like a glove, like he said. He said he thought that he saw something in him that maybe meant he could play for Liverpool. All this stuff matters. And this is, I think, a big reason why they're so successful. And, you know, if it wasn't for, say, Man City, they probably would have been through one of the most successful eras in the club's history, definitely in the Premier League history anyway, for sure.
It's just that it's that DNA you feel that Jurgen Klopp has developed within Liverpool. Like we talk about Real Madrid in the Champions League, remember when they knocked out your PSG, Jules? Oh. Just part of their history, and you feel that Liverpool have that same sort of thing going forward now domestically.
Yeah, thank you for the reminder. I knew at some point that would come. But yeah, you're right. I think they have that in them. And certainly the League Cup final and the scenarios that were so similar, I think, would have helped them. To go back on the point with the company that helped them with penalties, I'm with Nadim on this in the sense that if you can find a little extra detail or this 1% extra that will help you win matches, why not? They can come to the training ground, they explain, they speak. Look at what Alisson did. Every single time one of his teammates came for a penalty, he was waiting on the edge of the box with the ball. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the way you breathe, maybe the way you focus. We saw Jurgen Klopp, and if you watch again, the difference between Klopp and Tuchel, the 5 minutes before the start of the penalty shootout, so different. Klopp has everything under control, the one-on-one, the hugs, he's decisive, he knows all already the lineup of the five first penalty takers. Tuchel is all over the place. And by the moment that Liverpool are already all lined up on the halfway line ready to go, Chelsea are still debating maybe really who is first, who is not. They're coming together, they're not sure. And this is already where I think Liverpool at an edge. And maybe that's all part of this company coming and helping them. But why not? If you should always be open-minded in football. And like Frank said earlier, it's all about details anyway. And you feel that Liverpool had all that focus in that final on Saturday.
We think of Jurgen Klopp as being at top of his profession, right? At the very top in the world. And yet what I think is critical here is the admission by Jurgen Klopp in saying, I may not have all the answers. And if I can find somebody who can provide us with an avenue by which we can find more answers, then why not?
Would they have helped you?
Nope. We're not working on miracles here, Dan. Not working on miracles, outside my range. But I would suggest that this is an admission of Jurgen Klopp and a sign of a guy who's humble enough to understand maybe we need help on this. And if we need help on this, how can we outsource it? And these guys can provide it? All right, let's get better because of it. I think that's something that says a lot about Jurgen Klopp.
Something else that says a lot about Nadim and his big time ways. Let's just see how he acted yesterday on the sideline and how he just ditched Don. Don, that's him chatting to James Milner. Pretending that he's looking
on the phone. He's on the phone. Nobody talking to me. Wasn't Don the guy that played at Liverpool?
Meanwhile, Jordan Henderson comes over as well. Yeah. Look at Don kicking.
What is Don kicking?
So and then he's like, look, can you just come and say hello to my mate for me, please? He's looking a bit lonely.
Yeah, no, so, nothing.
Like, kind of, like, there you are, Jordan. Nice to meet you.
Oh,
Jordan.
Yes. How excited. Give me a hug. Yes.
Yeah. Good luck. Oh, beautiful.
And Jordan Henderson was, who are you again?
Nadim, you did Don dirty there.
No. To be honest, the issue when you pitch sides, you can't see what the pictures look like, and you never really know what the cameras are rolling at this point. I just assume that they're always rolling. But Don was very well respected in Liverpool end. Loads of fans were getting at him, saying, oh, can we sign this? Say, wave to us, all this stuff, Don. You know, I only knew two people, but apparently Don knew 40,000. So in the end, who's the real winner?
No. Frank, you would never have done that to Don, would you?
No, of course not. I would have been completely fair play and I will try to help him out. You know, I will never have left him alone, you know. That's shame on you. Big shame on you, Nadim.
Yeah, very much. Can you imagine, Nadim hopping on with Jordan Henderson, James Milner. Imagine what if we had footage of Julian with Benzema.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
He would literally elbow Don. Elbow Don out of the way.
Box out. Don, I don't know who you are. Yeah, I'm going right here. Karim the Dream, baby.
Karim the Dream. That is what it's all about. Frank, why weren't you there? Why weren't you at the game?
I was on stage last night, and I followed the game. I had 3 days of a tour with my play, and I followed the game in the afternoon. And I'll tell you, I had to be on stage like 2 minutes after the last penalty, so I was very upset. I was horrendous the first 5 minutes of my play because I was still thinking of the game and Chelsea losing the game. So that wasn't a very nice evening.
Give the people the money back. Give the people the money back.
Well, yeah, then you'd be doing that every night.
I didn't say that I was bad. Ali, I didn't say that I was bad all play long. I said the first five minutes after I was absolutely exceptional. Yeah. You know me.
Frank's only in the first 5 minutes. Then he gets killed. And that's it.
Right. The opening credits.
Yeah, that's it. Extra time, we'll see. Frank, is Frank back? Yes, he is. Frank and Nadim back for extra time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
So we know then the top four in La Liga, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atleti and Sevilla. That is done. The big drama going into the final round of matches next weekend, Sid, is of course relegation. Cadiz, Mallorca and Granada battling it out to avoid that third team relegated to the second tier. Alaves joining Levante today after that win for Levante. Very much all to play for, very different storylines for all of them going into it. Mallorca, of course, with that huge win late on. For Cadiz, they're taking on Alaves, side that's just been relegated. Granada, meanwhile, at home against Espanyol.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at those fixtures and I think it's perfectly plausible that we get a scenario in which all three of the teams who are in trouble win on the final day. That all three of them, if they'd looked at it and you'd said to them, listen, on the final day, you can get safe if you win this game against this team, they'd have all thought, you know what, the situation we're in, certainly a couple of weeks ago, we'd take that. The problem, of course, is now for some of them, it's not in their own hands. I must admit, I hadn't really thought about this, but talking to Martin Einstein post-game, he said, you do know that Mallorca play Osasuna. Yeah, and I'd completely forgotten this very key thing. Osasuna, of course, is the club that Javier Aguirre took into the Champions League, a club where he's an absolute hero. Now, neither of us necessarily, me nor Martin, want to be conspiratorial about this, but if there's a set of fans that would really, really like Javier Aguirre to achieve salvation with Mallorca, it's Osasuna's fans.
Meanwhile, of course, it's going to be a busy summer of transfer speculation, as it is every single year, and you feel that Robert Lewandowski could be someone we'd be talking about at length after what he said yesterday. Mundo Deportivo and Sport, the Catalan newspapers, both leading with the fact that he said he wanted to go. Barcelona heavily linked to a move for the Bayern man. This is what Bayern Munich had to say about the situation. Robert Lewandowski has a contract until the 30th of June 2023 and he will play with us until then. We can't be talking about obligating someone to fulfill their contract. He is within his right to not want to extend his contract. He also joined us for free. Right then, Sid. Lewandowski, how possible is this?
Well, in a way, I think the best answer for this is the one that Xavi Hernandez gave. And he wasn't specifically talking about Lewandowski. In fact, when he was asked about Lewandowski and is this player too old, he said the age isn't a problem. Look, I signed Dani Alves at 38. But he did say that everything they do, there is a difference between what they want to do and what they can do. And of course, this was focused on Frankie de Jong, this idea that, yes, this is an important player for me, but the economics dictate. And of course, with Lewandowski, the same will be true. Now, from Barcelona's point of view, getting someone like Lewandowski on a free transfer, when you can maybe spread the wages across a contract, a player who really wants to come and maybe doesn't necessarily demand enormous wages, this looks like a very good idea. The problem is, as you've just said, if Bayern Munich are in a position where we say, well, we actually, you know, we don't back down here. We don't let this guy go for free. We don't necessarily allow this to be just a sense of, listen, thanks very much, you played brilliantly, we'll facilitate things now. They have said publicly that they won't. Now, this still has, I think, some way to play out. But right now, economically, if Bayern Munich are not going to help out, is not quite the right phrase, if Bayern Munich are not going to play ball, then I think Barcelona are going to find it very difficult indeed.
Jules, is it Barcelona or bust?
I don't think so. I think there will be other clubs. We know that, for example, PSG, and we wrote it on the website last week, in case Kylian Mbappe leaves and he's announced tonight when he was voted player of the season, that he will announce his decision very, very soon now. So we will know soon that Lewandowski is part of the shortlist. I think if you're Chelsea and Lukaku goes and you're looking for number 9, Lewandowski will be on your shortlist as well. So it's not just Barcelona, but Sid is right. Right now, they can't afford him because Bayern are going to ask for, I think, quite substantial transfer fee, considering he only has 1 year left on his contract, and with the wages, Barca right now don't have that kind of money anyway. So it's still a long way. Even if he's agreed personal terms, for example, which I believe is probably true, Pini Zahavi has been talking with Barcelona for a long time now, but the transfer fee could be the problem here, and it would not be the problem for a PSG or Chelsea, for example. So Barca maybe leading the race, of course, and the talks have well advanced compared to others maybe, but again, financially there might be a few obstacles between them signing him and other clubs, for example.
We'll say thank you very much, Sid. Much appreciated. Go and ruin Luis Suarez's party some more if you like.
Wow.
Let's focus on what happened in Italy today, and it will go down to the wire, to the final match of the season, with both AC Milan and Inter registering victories today. It is still all to play for as to who will seal the Scudetto on the final day of the season. Jules, goodness me, you couldn't have written this any better, really, could you?
Incredible. Wild season, wild title race between the two Milan clubs as well, Inter and AC Milan. AC Milan 2 points clear with the advantage as well, let's not forget, of the head-to-head, which is what would decide the title if they both level on points. So it's actually more 3 points clear, because even a draw would be enough. Away at Sassuolo next weekend in the last game of the season, compared to Inter, who not only have to win their game against Sampdoria at San Siro, but also hope that Sassuolo do them a huge favour by beating Milan. And we saw two games, Milan playing early, then Inter, Milan with Rafael Leao never panicking despite being 0-0 at halftime, and then one of the goals of the season from Theo Hernandez, and then Inter responding with their clutch player Lautaro Martinez with two more goals, 21 now for the season. Incredible mano a mano title race.
A lot more on that title race on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Monday. Thank you very much to Jules. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg, letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So Chelsea do the domestic double after winning the Premier League last week. They win the FA Cup the fourth time they have done it. That's the fourth most of all time. And it's the first English club to win consecutive domestic doubles since Arsenal back in the 2006-2009 era. Meanwhile, perfect. 100% Barcelona's women in La Liga this season. 30 games, 30 wins, 159 goals.
That's a lot.
Atleti 2-1 today to wrap up their quite literal perfect season.
That's a lot of goals, Dan.
That's better than my grammar. What are we doing now? Huddersfield taking on Luton Town in the Championship semi-final second leg, all to play for after the 1-1 draw in the first. That game then live tomorrow here on Plus at 2:45 Eastern. Meanwhile, it's confirmed that it will be Hamburg who will face Hertha Berlin in that relegation playoff scrap. The first leg of that tie will be on Thursday, 2:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Goodness me, that brings us to the end of today's show. So much going on, Ali.
Yeah.
Oh, it's almost the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Very
nice.
You okay?
Yes, I will be then. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Frank and Nader.
Hey.
We'll be back to answer your tweets for extra time. Stay with us. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali, with us here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf's had a busy time, we know. He had three plays in 3 days. He's been putting a disappointing performance, haunted by Chelsea losing the FA Cup final. And it's confirmed now, Frank, if people write to you, you will give your money back for those performances. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly, exactly. I'm gonna write a check tomorrow morning, on your behalf, know, to make sure that people understand what's going on.
Well, a bit of Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, maybe better than checks, Frank, but that's all right.
That's okay. Let's keep up with the times, that's all.
Sure.
Nadim is here as well. Frank, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Nadim's been on the show slamming your book and saying that his is much better.
What?
Look at it.
Yes, I know, but he might be right, you know. Look at that face first, you know. You want to buy it. When you see a face like that, you want to buy it. You don't care what's going in, you know. But
what's the old saying? Don't judge a book by its cover.
Well, yes!
You see the difference? It's huge.
You know what? The color contrast.
I know.
Frank's a bit pale.
Yes.
A bit pale.
I don't know.
Nathan, when is it released? When's it out, your book?
It's on Tuesday, May 17th. I expect a ton of headlines, and I'm sure you'll be having something to say about some of the words I have for people.
What are you doing to commemorate this big moment?
Is it? Well, nothing. Literally nothing. When it's out there, it's out there. Like, the work's been done. So let's see what people say.
Oh, that should be like a big book launch.
Look, if you're putting a book out, be at least excited that you're putting a book out. It's like, yeah, well, you know, nothing. I'm not going to do anything. Well, I mean, Nathan, once you put it out there,
He's got faith in the material.
Uh-huh.
Frank was on every TV show going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plugging his book.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to. Well, Breckerleg, my friend, I'm with you, Nedim, and I'm going to buy one of your books because I can read English. Where you, the three of you, can read French.
Thank you very much. Why are we taking shots this way?
I know. Never ever been glad that I was terrible.
I don't know.
Okay. Right, Nadim. Why would Pep choose Mahrez over KDB or Jesus when he has missed some key penalties in his career, like the one against Liverpool last year?
Okay, the reason he would do that is because apparently he'd scored his last 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a respectable record to take to the penalty spot. Like, this is one of those things, like, City overall aren't brilliant at penalties, but it's the ones which people miss which sort of ring in people's minds that bit more. Like, KDB's missed one, other players have missed them.
Yeah.
Like, Mahrez has been their penalty taker this season, and he's not really let them down. So, you know, when you don't really have the context, I suppose it looks weird, but again, we only want to criticise when they miss, but he's had scored his last 9, so that seems like a fairly good bet for somebody to take the ball and put it on the penalty spot.
Frank, you love romance.
Mm. I don't know, Dan. I don't know. I don't know how it works nowadays, but I don't think coaches decide who's going to shoot the penalty. Players stand up and say, okay, I'm going to go for it, or I don't want to go for it. And when you go and you have a meeting before the game, all my coaches used to say, okay, who's going to shoot the penalty? Every game, I was lifting my arm up and I said, okay, I go for it. But never I've seen a coach say, no, you don't shoot it. You have to shoot it. No, never. It doesn't work like that. I don't think Pep has a word to say in that matter.
And can you imagine Frank? In the locker room, they're having the pre-game meeting, and he's just waiting for the question.
Yeah.
Who's going to take the penalty? That's it. That's me right here. Right here, coach. Right here. I got this.
Nah. Well, I was trying to be nice, you know, and humble as usual, usually, you know, where normally it works like that. The coach was saying, Frank, you shoot, because we know that you're going to be successful. That was the way it was working.
There he is.
I have to say the truth.
You know.
Yeah, it's true, because with Frank, he's waiting for somebody to like say the words, are you going to take the penalty? And I'm waiting for the words as well, so I can go and hide, because I want it to be as clear as day that I do not want this penalty. I am busy. Please, anybody but me.
I am busy.
I'm very busy. I'm a very, very busy man. Write my book. I've got time to score penalties. Frank, you love romance. Frank is very romantic.
Yeah,
we know that.
Yes.
We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything more romantic than Gerrard winning the league for Liverpool by beating Manchester City?
Mm.
Well, the guy has to do his job, and there is no romance or, I don't know, sentiments into that that world, I think. When we see that Luis Suarez crying because he leaves Barcelona, 2 years after he cries because he leaves Atletico Madrid, you just think about your own career. Just right. Think about what you have to do. And even if you are the man from Liverpool, because everybody is going to remember Steven G as the Liverpool man, you do what you have to do. And if it happens that you help your former club to win something because of the situation, it might be nice. But there is no romance whatsoever in that matter for me.
Nadim, this feels like a narrative that the English media might push, but I don't think many people are going to swallow it, are they?
Yeah, I think some people are. You can hear the stuff already. It's going on. Like, especially if Liverpool win that game on Tuesday at Southampton, then that's what it's going to be. And you know how it's going to go. Like, Liverpool score early, City might concede early. And it's like, oh, it's happening. The as it stands, people are like, oh, this is it. It's going to be magical. It's going to be amazing. But at the end of the day, like, this is just what they want. They want to sell newspapers. They want to have headlines. They want people to click their stories. And reality of the situation is for City and Liverpool, they're likely going to win their last game of the season because whoever they play against, like, Gerrard's Villa side are a good side, but Man City are Man City and they're playing to win a Premier League title. And it's the same for Liverpool, you know, playing Wolves and stuff like that. So this, you know, you could call it romantic, but for some people they call it a horror show. But the fact is both sides, they fancy their chances, and rightly so, because they get so many points every year anyway.
Will you be there selling your book, Nadim, on the final day of the season?
Do you know what? I did that last week. I actually did that last week. I was at the Newcastle game last week doing exactly that in the club shop. So I've already solved that. And as a consequence, this weekend, I'm just going to go away. I'm going to Rome, and I'm going to enjoy some time with my wife and go and just relax.
What do you mean you're going to Rome? You're not going to be at the game?
What?
No, absolutely not. No, do you actually think I'm City TV?
Yeah, it's
you have a
City TV.
You call me City TV. I'm not actually City TV. Relax. I was sitting in the Liverpool end yesterday, and I was in and amongst them. I was like, ooh, Liverpool, please, just don't say that. I'm just trying to enjoy my life. Let me live, please.
Wow, what are you doing in Rome?
Oh, man.
I just celebrate 20-year anniversary of my wife. Is that okay, Dan?
20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well done, Nadim.
Hey.
Congratulations! Congratulations to the lady. Congratulations
exactly.
To your wife, not to you.
Oh dear! And you know what he's got?
Huh? The book?
A signed copy.
Yes.
Two copies.
Yes.
Look at
two
that.
Copies.
Yes.
Not surprised that's on a full box.
Wow. Yes. We haven't sold many in that box.
Will you even watch the game, Nadim?
No, I won't be watching the game. I'm not going to Rome to watch all these final games in the Premier League. I'll see what happens.
That's
but
only
I'm not,
2 hours
it's
of your
like,
life.
At the end of the day, it is what it is.
Wow.
I have to say.
Yeah, but not in Rome. I didn't go there to do that. Let me enjoy the Colosseum and everything else that's to do with it. Let me sit in the plaza with a bit of coffee, you know what I mean? Just let me enjoy life for once.
I have to say, every time there's a big Manchester City game,
yes.
Nadim, he's here.
Yeah,
right?
I know,
because
I know. He's there.
He is the connection to Manchester City.
I know.
And they're on the verge of winning a title in a very tough, long season. And he's going to Rome?
Just complacency, isn't it?
Yeah.
4 out of 5, doesn't really care anymore.
No. I don't know if you've noticed. But you think I'm the voice of Man City, yet there's a lot of video of me hugging Liverpool players. So maybe this is just a false flag. You just think about it. Everyone just think about that.
It's like a weird double bluff.
Ah, yeah. True.
Right. Away from Nadim's disloyalty.
Wow.
For all, is there a particular game that you played in and you felt you were the major reason why the team lost? Was there a game that you didn't play in, Nadim? No. Perhaps a poor tackle, a red card, or a missed penalty. And how did you face your teammates knowing very well it was your fault that they didn't get the result?
Wow.
Wow, a lot of old scars being
opened
here.
Yes, easy.
Wow. Go on, Nadim.
Easy this one. So it was 10 years ago. It was that game where City first won the Premier League for the first time.
Were you there?
And Edin Dzeko scores to make it 2-2. That is my man. And then for the third goal, I threw the ball and we lost it. And they went up 10 seconds later and scored. So initially, as that third goal goes in, I put my hands on my head literally like this because I thought, oh my God, I've just relegated us. After 38 games, it's me that's done it. And then 5 seconds later, it's like nobody cares anymore. So yeah, that could have gone the exact opposite way because I am the reason that QPR lost that game. I'll hold my hands up and say exactly that.
Wow. No. And so also the reason why Manchester City won that game, yeah. Nadim, is what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. You're trying to partner yourself.
Yeah,
with.
It's this reverse, this yes. triple, quadruple yeah. bluff. You yes. never know whether I'm coming or going. Am I Liverpool? Am I City? Am I United? You just don't know, dear.
Well, we do. Yes, no, we do. We know. we do. Frank will tell us about Ronaldinho now.
Oh, yes, that was an example that I forgot, but I have so many that I was trying to find one, you know, a clear one. I remember that a couple of years you showed some highlights about my fantastic headers to my own goalkeeper that I completely missed and gave the ball to Shearer, who yes. scored for Newcastle at St. James's Park. So, yeah, a few of those, you know, that I felt really guilty and ashamed when I came back into the dressing room, and I think I said, you know, guys, my bad. what can you say? You know, my bad. I will try to do better next week, and that's the only thing you can do. Yeah, well, the one with Ronaldinho, especially on the Clásico. You want to bury yourself to make sure that nobody can see you. That's shameful.
Wow.
But that's part of our lives. It's the risk that you take when you make it. You try to do something maybe too difficult,
yeah.
and you miss it, and you have to pay the price. And that's as a defender, you know that. As a striker, it's less a responsibility when you miss a goal because. It's never like you made a mistake. You tried, you weren't successful. Maybe Ali can witness that. It's less, you know, something's gonna fall on your shoulders. For us defender, it's a nightmare. People's gonna point you and say, well, that's your fault.
Well, for somebody who missed plenty of chances, part of the issue is that sometimes you hang on to those misses. And I think the best strikers really are the ones that are able to put the misses aside and focus on the next thing. When you let them pile up, then it becomes very difficult to put that next chance away. Now, in terms of a big miss, I missed a penalty playing against Toronto. I was with Columbus at the time. But what made it worse was that I think we ended up tying the game 1-1, but what made it worse was the fact that on the flight home, we were in some sort of storm, and this plane didn't look like it was going to make it.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking...
So your last moments on Earth yes, would be a missed penalty.
Correct. And that was my thought. It's like, are you kidding me? Of all the things that up until that point I had accomplished in my career, the things that I had achieved, it's like the last significant contribution that I make to the game is missing a penalty.
What's interesting, Frank said that you get walked into the changing room, you know, my bad, it's my fault. I don't know if you have that within your personality.
What's that? Say my bad?
To say I'm sorry.
Well, I don't say I'm sorry, but I say that it was my fault.
You would accept.
I have no problem accepting my fault.
Right.
I will also have no issue saying, what in the world are you doing? Take the attention and put it somewhere else.
Ali, why is De Jong leaving Barca such a big deal? Their midfield is the only area where they have enough depth. Considering all factors, it's a great move to sell De Jong.
Well,
yeah, you said that.
And I totally agree. If there is one negotiating piece for Barcelona right now that they have available, is Frankie De Jong. So, if I'm Barcelona, I am putting information out there into the Catalan press and I'm saying Frankie de Jong is the best. Frankie de Jong is great. Frankie de Jong is awesome. Frankie de Jong, what a future he has. Because I want his price to go as high as possible so that then I can sell the player. I think I can get the most out of him than anybody else on the team that I'm willing to let go of. So, Frankie de Jong has to be the key for Barcelona when they're negotiating new contracts. They let him go, they sell him for the correct price, and then they reinvest in the team.
Which club in world football, Nadim, has the best post-goal celebration? For me, Portland, revving the chainsaw, and Bayern blasting Seven Nations Army come to mind.
That is a good question. I think having experienced the Portland one, it does feel very, very unique. And, you know, that does stick out in my mind because I just, like, because I've had a couple of beatings there, to be honest. And when you're hearing that chainsaw going over and over and over, it kind of drives you insane. So as far as the MLS goes, I'll definitely give it to them. And to be honest, just as a defender in general, just being at any away stadium conceding, it's just so, so annoying. But it's part and parcel of just being back there. Inevitably, you're going to concede and just hope that people aren't going to be fully just humiliating you as it happens. But yeah, I think I'll give a shout out to Portland, because unfortunately a lot of people have chopped wood in the games which I've played there, for sure.
You know, for me, it's special, the Seven Nation Army fans in Columbus.
Oh, they play that song everywhere now. Well, everywhere you go, Seven Nations Army.
Okay, fantastic, but we're talking about 14 years ago?
It's lost its edge now, isn't it?
What? No, when they say, Alejandro Moreno. Yeah, you're not feeling it?
Everyone's just sick of that song now. That's enough.
You're not feeling it? Yeah, the funny story is my son, whose name is also Alejandro, we get home and after the people have been chanting Alejandro Moreno, yes, he says, Papi, they were yelling my name in the stadium. Aww. And I said, yes, they were, but no, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
This guy was scoring goals.
Hey, final question. This is a good question. I like this. If you could play for any team in the world just for the city, which team would that be? So forget about anything to do with how much money you'd make or the history or that this club has. Which city would you want to play in? Oh, Nadim's off to Rome.
Yes, but is he going to play? Because when he goes to Rome, he doesn't think about the game.
Right, I'm not thinking about the game. Frank, where are you going?
Will be Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah,
because I love the city. Or it will be Paris.
Right, you've lived both of those places. Bit boring.
Yeah.
Right, Nadim.
I think I'll say Barcelona. I've always enjoyed my time when I've gone over there on holiday, so I'll say there.
Well, you know where Mrs. Moreno's gonna go.
Does she prefer Barcelona or Madrid?
Madrid.
Madrid she likes, yeah.
So therefore,
yeah?
I don't have much of a choice.
Madrid?
We're going to Madrid.
And what about Columbus singing Seven Nations Army? Oh, they're done now.
Hey, you said that it was done. That's it. Seven Nations Army is everywhere, you said.
Madrid or Columbus? Where's your loyalty?
I'll tell you something. Well, we're going to hang out in the plaza.
Yeah, so we had a lovely time, didn't we? And when are you off to Rome then, Nadim?
Going on Friday. Literally, like, best thing to do, Dan, is just not text me, okay? Mind your business.
Wow.
So aggressive.
You know what you're getting now. Text galore. Just pictures of me during my day. Be lovely for you.
So aggressive.
And Frank, what are you doing this week? You back on stage upsetting people?
Friday night, I'm going to be on stage close to Nice. And I come back and... Saturday afternoon, one of the mayor of a small town decided to name a stadium after my name.
Oh,
so I have to be at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon to see my name. I'm sorry. That's me. What can I do? What can I do?
Honestly,
I have a park. I have a gymnasium after my name. Now I will have a stadium. And you're not happy? I don't care. No, that's me.
I love me some Frank LaPerre.
Frank LaPerre Stadium.
Honestly, he's the best policy,
Frank. Goodness, mate.
Man, I love this guy.
It's all about humility.
Yeah.
You can't go through that because of my humility.
Yeah.
That's it.
It comes right through the screen, you know?
Yes!
Of course!
There you are. Yeah. Literally wrote the book on humility. Thank you very much. Don't
what
forget.
A man.
Nadim's book then out on Tuesday. We're at 8 tomorrow. It's all about Shaka Hislop, who is the guest of honour of Newcastle against Arsenal. We might talk about the game as well. Be sure to stay with us and check that out.